such a gift to be back with you for worship, friends. I just love this scrappy little church plant. I love its spirit. I love its air. I love Megan and Rob's priestly leadership. I love the children leading. I love your warmth as a community and your witness to your neighbors. Bless you. Thanks for having me. And on an even more special Sunday than usual, Matt Humphrey, freshly ordained deacon in the Anglican Church in Canada, family in town from the other coast and from the lower mainland, and his and Roxy's children will be baptized. We're going to cram as many sacraments into one weekend as possible. So if anyone also wants to get married or confess their sins or be anointed for an illness, we got the people on hand that can do all of that too. A sacrament is a physical means by which God saves. In our text for this afternoon, God is always saving through water. God seems to have this thing for water. God hovers over the water before creation like a fierce predator bird. God splits the Red Sea to lead slaves to freedom. God in flesh goes through the waters of the Jordan to lead us to salvation. And this afternoon, God leads Abigail, Elijah, and Mary through water to salvation. After today, little ones, you'll not be the same. This water doesn't dry off. Not only that, water won't be the same. It will always remind you of your baptism. Because whatever you do, you can't be unbaptized. Jesus Christ is with you forever. St. Francis said, whenever we see water, we should remember our baptism and give thanks. So we here in BC have lots of opportunities to be grateful. Every drop of rain, every glimpse of the Georgia Strait, every time we brush our teeth, every rainstorm that we cover ourselves up from, we get to say, hey, I'm baptized. Nothing that happens today can stop that. Water's amazing. It doesn't increase or decrease in volume over history. It just changes form. So the water we gaze at and drink and umbrella ourselves from is the same water that dinosaurs once drank. It evaporates, rains back down, and lingers in the ocean and makes life possible. We gestate in it, and it passes through us. It gives life, and it can give death. It's such a dazzling mystery, and we rarely stop to think about it. No wonder God loves creating water and saving with water. God will do more of that this afternoon. Our reading from Ezekiel is the one from which churches like ours get our pattern of baptism. The earliest churches do seem to have immersed people underwater for baptism. There we are. That's a good symbol. It shows that in baptism we die and are raised with Christ. Just a little bit of water doesn't show that quite as well. But as the church moved from the warm Middle East and North Africa to less warm Western and Northern Europe, immersion seemed like less of a good idea. There was some thought of baptizing in the ocean this afternoon, but apparently Anglicans struggle to do outdoor revivals, so here we are. The church I led in North Carolina would baptize teenagers in a river, and it became a big deal. And the children who had been baptized as infants got jealous because we couldn't baptize them. They already had been baptized. And so we found that parents would hold off on baptizing their infants so they could grow up and have the cool experience as teenagers. So maybe it's a good thing we're in the building today. You can't repeat baptism because God always does it right the first time. So this passage from Ezekiel speaks of God sprinkling clean water on us. With God, it's not the amount of water. It's the power of God. So a little is more than enough. But look what else Ezekiel says about God's working with water. God gathers the nations through water. So today, Abby and Eli and Mary join a church that stretches around the world, includes every race and tribe, people living and dead, all who've passed through water. Ezekiel says baptism takes our idols away from us. All the wrong things we worship, our resume, our wokeness, our grievances, our accomplishments, our lack thereof, these are all false gods that kill, drowned this afternoon. A new heart I will give you, removing your old heart and replacing it with a new one. Baptism is a heart transplant. Now, it's an amazing thing you can do medically. A friend of mine's father had a heart transplant. They pulled his old heart out, and then they sewed in a dead man's heart, and he lived for 10 more years. I mean, that's... Ezekiel says baptism is that. Only God is the heart transplanter. And then God's also the fleshy, beating, pulsing, life-giving organ that's sewed back in where there was just a hole. Only this new life lasts forever. Are you sure you want to go through with this, Humphreys? I mean, this is commitment. The reading from Romans says we're buried with Christ in baptism. In the context, some of the church in Rome was saying, okay, you say every time I sin, I get forgiveness and I get more grace, right? So why don't I just sin more so I can get more grace? Because God's so gracious. I love that. I mean, if we're not preaching grace scandalously enough, that question won't be asked. That's a good barometer question. Stephen Colbert, late night comedian, talk show host, was asked recently why he doesn't evangelize, why he doesn't share his faith. Now, honestly, he does, or no one would have known to ask him that question, right? But his answer was great. He said, more Jesus for me. The amazing thing about grace is it's like water. The more you give it away, the more you get back. It never diminishes. There's always more of it. Share it, God says. I'll make more. Paul says the reason not to sin on purpose is this. Baptism kills you. Dead people can't sin. Next question. One sure thing I can tell you this afternoon that I wish weren't sure, but everyone will agree with. We're all going to die. Wish it weren't so, but it is, just the price to being alive. We'll mourn one another, and sooner than we would wish. Here's the good news, the contentious part. The grave is not empty. It's full of Jesus and all his saints and one another. So some images of Jesus' baptism, the Jordan looks like a grave. It's showing that the grave is not empty. It's full of Jesus. It's not to be feared. He's in there with us, before us. And then some images of baptism, the Jordan looks like a womb. Baptism births us. And every grave there is now also a womb too. Because God is always incubating new life, curating liveliness, taking what we fear is the end and making a new beginning from it. That's what baptism does. And then finally, our gospel reading. Jesus' baptism has caused a few problems for the church. Kept some nerds like me employed. I appreciate this. So we get baptized to get a heart transplant. What's wrong with Jesus' heart? Nothing. Well, why did he get baptized then? We get baptized to have our idols ripped away from us. What idols did Jesus have? None. So what did he need the water for? You see how this is a problem, right? Here's some answers. We Christians serve a particular God. Not a big daddy in the sky. Not a philosophical idea. A person. A baptized God. I like this one too. When Jesus goes down in the water, he leaves his grace down there for us. So when we go down in the water, we pick up his grace and we put it on and we wear it the rest of our lives. Here's another answer. In the gospel story, we see all three persons of the Trinity. This almost never happens. Pay attention when it does. The sky is ripped apart when Jesus comes out dripping wet. The Greek word is schizo, where we get our word for schizophrenia, for a tear in your mind. The sky is schizoed, And the dove comes down and the voice rumbles, "You are my son, the beloved. I'm well pleased with you." So for those of you keeping score, that's 1, 2, 3 persons of the Trinity. There's no one left off stage. Everyone is out. The voice. In our fears, when God speaks to us, it's with judgment. "You shouldn't have. How dare you? I'm ashamed of you." That's why God gives us this story, to say something different than that. "I crave you. You are mine. I am one with you. Beloved, I'm delighted with you." Those are the things God says to Abby and Eli and Mary today, and to all of us through water, and to all drawing breath. A baptized God says, "I tore open the heavens to come and tell you I love you." And in baptism, we say back to God, "I love you too." So as I've hinted, the church has struggled with what age to baptize at. Some churches say only baptize those who know what they're doing. Problem is, who of us knows what we're doing? Only baptize those who are sure they're Christian. Problem is, I'm a little worried about those who are sure that they're Christian. Some churches baptize infants to show that God makes promises to us when we don't even know our own name. My sense is the church needs both kinds of baptism. We need to baptize adults because that says something important about God, that God is still in the conversion business, that God's into turning people around. We baptize infants to show that God keeps promises when we don't even know how to promise back. Now, what's wonderful today is these three Humphrey children are sort of in between. They can answer some questions, and they got a few questions, and they always will. And yet they're not the age when adult baptism churches tend to baptize. They're still children, full of wonder. In fact, Jesus tells us to all be like them, full of wonder. Make us that way, God. So Mary, Eli, Abigail, we're proud of what you do today. We're delighted to tell you what God's done for you. We need you because Jesus says we all got to become like you. And so we give God thanks, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.